This is George L. Landis speaking on What Saith the Scriptures. We're so happy to again be with you and be able to bring a message from God's Holy Word. In the last two messages, we have been studying the Good Shepherd and His sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is the Good Shepherd. He is needed because mankind has gone astray, and the Shepherd came to seek and to save that which was lost. We saw that the greatest work of the Good Shepherd was the laying down of His life for the sheep, when He died upon the cross for our sins. In our last message, we noticed His present work for His sheep. He seeks, saves, leads, feeds, waters, and today we want to observe how He protects His sheep. Sheep are exposed to many dangers, and no animal is more defenseless. Just so the Christian is surrounded by a great number of dangers and is unable in his own strength and wisdom to protect himself. Therefore, he needs the protective ministry of the Good Shepherd. In the chapter which has been the basis of our studies, the 10th of John's Gospel, several dangers are mentioned by the Lord. He warns of thieves and robbers, the stranger, the hireling, and the wolf. Elsewhere in the Word of God, other dangers are mentioned, such as disease, injury, the lion, the bear, and the leopard. Whether we can specifically distinguish and identify all of these may be questioned. Some foes of the Christian may exhibit traits of several of these enemies. Today we will give thought to the thieves and robbers who climb up some other way. We must keep in mind to whom these words were first addressed. While we acknowledge the help it is to have the Bible divided into chapters and verses, we must remember that they are not part of the inspired record. Sometimes the chapter divisions are a bit unfortunate in that the readers are likely to lose the connection in a passage. Such is the case here. In the 9th chapter, the Pharisees, most of whom were false and faithless shepherds in Israel, had cast one of the Lord's sheep out of the fold, the synagogue. We refer to the man born blind, whom the Lord had healed. After the Good Shepherd sought and found the excommunicated sheep and revealed himself to him as the Son of God, we read, "And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin, but now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." Thus ends the 9th chapter. Now begins the 10th chapter with the Lord speaking to the same spiritually blind. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Obviously, he had been in mind. But in the 8th verse he says, "All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers." He certainly does not have such men in mind as his forerunner, John the Baptist, or other true prophets as Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, and such like. All through its history, the people Israel had been afflicted with false prophets and false messiahs who were false shepherds. Gamaliel referred to such in warning the Sanhedrin in the 5th chapter of Acts, quote, "For before those days rose up Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and threw away much people after him, he also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, he will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye might be found even to fight against God." End of quotation. God had repeatedly used his true prophets to warn Israel against the false shepherds. One of the most striking of such warnings, and one which would seem to apply in this case, is found in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, May I read the opening verses? And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed them which are sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruined them. And they are scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wander through all the mountains, and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. End of quotation. Surely many of these indictments could have been charged against the religious leaders in our Lord's day. They were the ones who caused him the most trouble, and upon whom he pronounced the most severe condemnation, as in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, in which are many statements like the following, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Ye blind guides that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? These were men who sought their own gain by way of cunning, treachery, and even violence. Robbers break in by force, thieves by craft. One may inquire, do we need to be warned against such in this day? Oh, yes, there are many today who would rob Christians of the truth of God and steal from them every precious doctrine of the Christian faith. God, foreseeing such dangers, placed many warnings on the pages of the New Testament. Paul, after warning the Ephesians to take heed unto themselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood, utters this further caution. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. These perverse things embrace either denial of certain vital verities of the Christian faith, or seek to add something to the Word of God, some doctrine or theory of man. I could mention many such perverse things in both these categories, which are widely accepted today. Back of all perversion of the truth of God is that sinister figure, the father of lies, the devil, Satan. He was the first to put a question, the first to question the Word of God when he said to Mother Eve, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And a moment later, he gave the lie to God when he said, Ye shall not surely die. A certain popular religious columnist, bearing a D.D. degree, denies the personality of the devil, regarding it merely as a personalization of the evil that struggles with the good in the hearts of men. Could it be that with him, the D.D. means denier of the devil? The devil sometimes appears as a roaring lion, seeking to intimidate and physically destroy the sheep of God. But more frequently, especially in this day and in this country, he comes disguised as an angel of light. And light is that which characterizes God. Again, the Holy Spirit through Paul warns us with these words, For such are false shepherds, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Such ministers of Satan, and we are using scriptural terminology, generally come under the pretext of providing you help in studying and understanding the Bible. They, like Satan their master, quote and misquote Scripture, wresting it to their own destruction. How we need to give attention to the injunction of the Lord Jesus, take heed what ye hear. And to this we might add, and take heed what you read and what you see. Let us read one more warning as found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. Did you notice some things in these verses which are advocated by certain religious systems today? I am sure you did. There's much more to be said on this subject, but our time is almost gone. In faithfulness to God and His Word, and to the souls of our listeners, I must declare the whole counsel of God, and that includes the warnings. We trust that you'll be with us for our next broadcast, when we will conclude this message on the dangers from which the Good Shepherd protects His sheep. We close by saying the verse of the hymn, "We'll sing of the Shepherd that died for the sake of the flock. His love to the utmost was tried, but firmly endured as a rock." This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.